action of one man to launch a wholly unjustified and brutal invasion of Iraq. I mean, of Ukraine.
Are you fucking with me?
I am
just disagreeing with you. In America, we have the freedom of speech, the right to disagree.
Any human being, anywhere, is well within his right to do whatever is necessary, by any means necessary, to protect his life and property, especially in a country where the federal government itself has proven that it is either unable or unwilling to protect the lives and property of those human beings.
54, Pierce.
Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no, no. Anything more comes from the evil one. Think about that. Even in the words you speak, there is a boundary. You don't need to embellish. You don't need to argue. You don't need to defend.
All right, what's up, ladies and germs? Welcome back to the show. September 21st, 2025, 1 minute before 6 a.m., I'm here with Brian. What's up, Brian?
Good to be here, man. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's like your fourth or fifth time, isn't it?
Yeah.
Nice. Also, Brian is the guy that did the little guitar ditty at the beginning and the end of the show. So if anybody, I'm his manager, by the way. So,
dude, I don't like it, but I had to get you something.
I like it.
Well, that's good. I'm not a music producer, so I suck at mixing and stuff. It's just, anyway, is what it is. Thank you.
Yeah. Hey, we all learn as we go, man. I didn't know shit about any of this. So what's been going on with you?
Well, I guess, you know, just a quick catch up on, you know, the happenings around my work with Grundstaff Foundation and, you know, trying to get legislation through and those sorts of things. We back in June, my wife and I both went to D.C. with Grundstaff. There was a big press conference right out in front of the Capitol building. I got about 8 or 9 minutes of airtime to basically tell my son's story and to rail on the VA. And then my wife, very uncharacteristically, also spoke. And she had basically just written almost kind of like a poem, but it was just describing the grief, you know, how every day she wakes up and grief's just sitting at the foot of the bed, you know, and it was heartbreaking. And I'm going to cry occasionally. I can't talk about my son and not get teared up. You know, it just every day it just happens. But anyway, so had the press conference, we were surrounded by VFW and American Legion, and it was a thing. It was an event. I think I sent you the video. Honored to be there. You know, we got to meet, we kind of made our base of operations, the VFW headquarters building there in DC. Got to meet, you know, more of those guys. We had, I guess, what you would call panels or panel discussions and such in the Capitol building visitor center. We had some senators come through, such as like Tony Gonzalez, who, you know, Brandon Herrera, the AK guy, is running against in Texas. Gonzalez, I think he's had his time. He needs to go away. So, kind of a rhino, you know, says right. He's for the people and then votes for gun confiscations and crap. Anyway, got to meet, you know, more of those people. Sorry, and I'm going to start wiping my nose again from crying. That all went really well. We're starting to see some of the fruits of that effort, you know, talking, you know, back in January, got to talk with Mike Bost, who's the chairman of the House Veterans Affairs Committee, got to talk to Doug Collins as he was walking off the stand from his last hearing, which was great. Talked to other, you know, senators that were there across the table, across the aisle, Dick Blumenthal. Dick Blumenthal's a hard pill to swallow, but it is what it is. You know, we have to have bipartisan support.
Right.
And just yesterday, my wife forwarded me that, let's see, it was House Resolution,
Sure.
I think 3627. I'm just going to verify that really fast. Was basically passed out of committee as a proposed bill. Oh, they don't even tell you what it is. I think it's 3627. And it basically just says, I don't like the language of it, quite frankly. It's too narrow. And it basically, let me read you the bill text really. It's very short. I just got to pull up the document. It says, so they're basically tasking the Veterans Affairs or Veterans, yeah, Veterans Affairs Chairman, so it would be Doug Collins, to generate a report every year, and that report has to contain data on every veteran that died during that period, an identification of whether such veteran had a service-connected disability rated as total. That's what I don't like. Why? Why limit it to total disability?
So
You know,
100%.
apparently,
If
and
it's
that's
not 100%, then it's not recorded.
exactly. I hate it. And then at the sub part is the primary cause of this. So they have to report on the primary cause of death. If there's a secondary cause, they have to report on that, if applicable. And they want a statement on whether such a veteran died by suicide secondary to a service-connected disability rated as total. So again, as total, stupid. What the hell are they doing? You know, so they're creating a filter, and I don't like it. But then it says, for each primary cause of death identified pursuant to the paragraph above, a statement of the total number of veterans that died from each primary cause during that period. So it's basically saying if it was a total disability and they committed suicide and it was related to that, how many did the same thing? And it could be different forms of death. So it's not completely closed. And it's not just saying, like, you know, death by gunshot or self-inflicted wounds or whatever. At least it's kind of open there, but the total rated as total thing bugs the crap out of me. But this is the way it works, you know.
Yeah.
You think you're getting a cherry pie and you're getting a rhubarb pie. You know, and if you like rhubarb, that's fine. But if you really wanted a cherry pie, you're kind of pissed off. That's the way this is. It's just they bake it and it goes through committees and it comes out the other side and it doesn't always look like it looked like going in, you know?
Right.
So that's that. It's something, you know, it's a step in the
Yeah.
right direction. It's not a step backwards in some respects. So that's kind of the latest. I am going back to DC this week. There's going to be another, there's kind of a big to do Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's with a group called Angel Force. And I don't like this name. It's just hard to say. But it's the event is called Stop Suicilence. And it's basically talking about, you know, when veterans take their own lives, people don't talk about it is what their assertion is. And it's let's start talking about it. Let's start trying to understand what happened. Let's grieve. Let's, you know, there's survivors. There are people impacted. And that's one of their things is like 128 people at least are impacted when a veteran dies, and especially by suicide. And it's all kinds of survivor's guilt. You know, I'm sure you've probably had buddies that pulled the trigger and you're just going like, I could have been there for him. You know, what could I have done to have prevented this from happening? And that's a game you're never going to win, but at least talking about it, there's
Yeah.
benefit to it. So that's really the kind of the goal of this whole event. But I'm gonna be there as a survivor, talk on a panel, tell Connor's story. That's about it, man.
Hey, well, at least there's progress being made, you know.
Yep, it's slow, and it kind of has to be.
Yeah, I think it's always going to be that way.
No, for sure.
So you were talking about Now, this Grunt Style Foundation, is there like a, how many people are in it? Like, is there like a chain of command?
Yeah.
Okay, how does this work?
I don't know everybody, but Will Wisner is the president of Grunt Style. He is on the board of Grunt Style Foundation. Tim Jensen, who is like a VP of Grunt Style, is the president of Grunt Style Foundation. And then Grunt Style Foundation has other members. Janae, her last name's escaping me. Janae is like the VP of operations around Veterans Affairs and stuff like that. And then Derek Blumke is a fellow on the board, and he is underneath Janae and runs the stuff that I work on. So okay. I basically, as a volunteer, I report to Derek. Derek reports to Janae. Janae reports to Tim Jensen. Or maybe she reports to Will. And then Will reports to Tim. It's kind of, you know, it's a corporate organization, but it's a nonprofit.
Right.
And by the way, you know, I rewatched our last video and I told you this already, but I didn't realize you were going to publish that recording, and I wasn't paying any attention to the camera at all, and I was just like a total spaz. And
what do you mean?
I was just like looking around the room, you know, constantly rubbing my nose and crap.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Well, I felt embarrassed.
Anyway. It's like when you texted me yesterday and you were saying like something about Jews or something like that. It's like, I'm guessing maybe you listened to an episode with Julio, because Julio likes to talk shit about, I mean, there is no script. You know what I mean? And you don't have to agree with me about anything. You know what I mean? It's just, we're just two guys talking. You know what I mean? But
I get it.
And I don't, it's like I told you yesterday, I don't, any group, are there Jews that are trying to take over Hollywood? Yeah. Are there Jews running all the pornography sites? Yeah. But it's like any other group, there's good guys and there's bad guys, you know, whether it be Jew, white, black, Hispanic, whatever. You know what I mean? There's good and bad. And everyone.
I'm really glad you didn't say good Jews and bad Jews. So, you know, just to kind of set the stage of how that conversation started, you know, I'm old enough to know better, and I guess young enough mentally not to know when to stop, you know, and I'm on X, and I saw some post from somebody I don't know, and I made a rather inflammatory comment about the Palestinians. And I said, the Palestinians are the Philistines. And I was saying it as a comparison to say, just like when lefties love to call conservatives Nazis, I'm not saying they are the actual Philistines. The actual Philistines were Greek, whatever. But everybody, this, I discovered a couple things. One is, I consider myself to be pretty freaking moderate. Lefties would say I'm an extremist. You know, I'm like patriotic American, love God, you know, love Jesus, love the F word. And I kind of run down the middle. I let live and let live, right? If you want to live that way, if you want to be gay, if you want to be trans, whatever, it doesn't really affect me until you start trying to push it on me. And then we have an issue, you know? And if you stray off that center line in either direction, you're going to get dogpiled. And if you happen to say something anti-Palestinian and not anti-Jewish, holy crap, I was getting it from both sides. Christians are dogpiling on me. The Jews are anti-Christ, blah, blah, blah. And the lefties are going, Palestinians are not Philistines, you know, and I'm just being called every name in the book. And I just stepped back, and this morning it dawned on me, you know, I basically was trolling and didn't intend to be. I was just being facetious, you know, and I kind of came up with a little guideline that basically, you know, something to the effect of lefties can't not take the bait, especially if they feel because they're so arrogant and have to correct the record and have to prove that you're a moron. You know, that's their goal, is to prove that you're a moron, because they're just arrogant assholes. They're freaking cunts. I mean, there is not a better word to describe lefties.
Agreed.
You know, and it's got the fingerprints of university all over it. You know, these are supposedly, you know, they love to call themselves intellectuals and crap like that. Well, that just fits right in with exactly what I'm saying. But there are a few things they can't stand. So, like, if you bring up religion, especially if you, you know, take a stance as a Christian, they love, you know, you'll hear epithets like, you know, you believe that Jew-written murder cult book, crap like that, you know. And I'm trying to find the list.
Well, you know, the universities were infiltrated back in the 50s by the intelligence agencies through the, it started with the student council. They took over the student council, which, you know, a generation after that became the professors, and they had an agenda the entire time of what they wanted to teach and the attitude that goes along with that. You know what I mean?
I think there's evidence to suggest it goes back further than that. I mean, I'm thinking like the mid-30s. Because there was a lot
I wouldn't disagree with that.
There's a lot of pro-Hitler sentiment that was going on. Like Lindbergh. You know, Lindbergh was going around saying, hey, Hitler's not, he's not that bad a guy. Give him a chance, blah, 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 right? And he kind of had to repent for his sins after that. And that was going on a lot in colleges. So it's been going on a long time, to your point.
Right.
So I found my list. So these are just my thoughts, right? I just kind of made a bulleted list. You know, they kind of fancy themselves as sharks. And they're hunting the internet, and they're just smelling for blood in the water. And when they see blood in the water, they can't resist it, which is really fun, actually. They can't not take the bait, you know? And they'll go from zero to rage in a millisecond, which is hilarious.
I love it. I mean, there's nothing that... It's like a ray of sunshine in my heart. uncontrollable rage. I love it. I can't get enough.
Yeah, so, you know, they it's like they're personally offended by what you said pardon me, and they have to set the record straight. You know, it's this university mindset they have,
right?
Where they're smarter than you and they're going to prove it. So it's great. And I'm not saying we should provoke them, but you just don't have to try very hard.
No, you don't.
You know,
it's easy.
And if you mix in religion, like I said, it gets warm really fast. And then if you say anything negative about Palestine, you'll get focus from the left. Unless you neglect to say something negative about the Jews, and then you get it from both sides. That's what I was saying to you yesterday.
It's funny because, you know, current events, you're literally talking about Charlie Kirk right now.
You're right.
You know what I mean? That's what he did. That was his job. Turning point. He would go to campuses and get people fired up, but he was genuinely a nice guy, man. All he wanted to do was talk. He wasn't trying to, but his side was always a talking point. But just like you're saying, it led to uncontrollable rage with the people, some of the people he was talking to. Now who knows who was behind what really happened. There's a lot of different ideas, you know, but
it's all just, I gotta,
It's just funny how you're talking about this and it circles back to something that just happened, and it's exactly. It's what everybody's talking about right now. You know,
and
what
I think mean? It was inflamed. I think my experience was definitely inflamed by that sense of tension and rhetoric that's happening right now. You know, would this happen normally? I think it would, but maybe just not. I mean, holy dude, I'm telling you. When I say dogpiled, I am not kidding. It was just one after the other. And there's like guys that agreed with me that would say something like, okay, now what are you going to say about the Jews? I'm like, I'm not going to say anything about the Jews. Oh, you're turning tail and running. It's like, if you're not willing to say something negative about the Jews, they accuse you of being a bootlicker. It's like that extreme. It's like, okay, I just went from being, you know, called an idiot because I compared, or no, they think I called the Palestinians Philistines, saying that they are the same thing. Okay, it's an analogy. It's a reference. You know, it's like them calling us Nazis. We're not. Give me a freaking break. They don't think we're literally. I don't know. Some of them maybe do think we're like wearing armbands at home. And, you know, cropping our little mustaches. And I don't know. Anyway, yeah, it's definitely topical. There's definitely a heightened sense of outrage. And that brings us to another point I kind of brought up when we spoke earlier. And that is, you know, around the origins or the who was behind what happened to Charlie. There's some fishy stuff. I'm not going to go into that. But a lot of folks are saying, using the term Trantifa, and it's basically, it's like this ultra violent, ultra aggressive wing of Antifa, if you can even imagine that. They're not moon bad enough. We have to have trannies, you know, taking up arms and fighting, you know, taking.
I mean, I used to follow that stuff a lot, as you know, but, I haven't heard about Antifa for fucking ever. Like first of all, they're wearing, from what I remember, they're wearing a mask. The guys look like, you know, skinny white guys, and the chicks are fat white chicks. But the thing is, when they're wearing a mask, it's like, let's say you did get into it. The guys are so skinny that you're afraid to hit them because you can't tell if it's a guy or a woman. You know what I mean? It's like, what do you do in that situation? I'm not going to punch somebody. I'm not even sure what gender they are, you know, and they want to get all aggressive and get in people's faces. Take the fucking mask off then. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Quit being a pussy.
You're being very gentlemanly. I think in the event that anybody lays hands on you, they're fair game.
I'm not saying that. Not saying, I mean, nobody's hitting me unless I let them, unless it's like a sucker punch. You know what I mean? And
yeah. So
that's not an issue. Sorry, go ahead.
They've been around. They haven't gone away. They're still causing mayhem. You know, Trump just announced or just declared them a major terrorist threat. So that's nice. It's about freaking time kind of thing. But this Trantifa thing, it's really kind of an epithet. Some people attribute it to Andy Ngo. Some people, there's a trans activist out there, it's a proud Antifa member who claims he, she, they, whatever. I have no idea what this person is, that they coined it. Whatever. Andy Ngo basically says it's a particularly violent and misogynistic branch of Antifa that allows men to take out their hatred against women in the guise of trans activism. So it's trans women beating up women, which is parallel to the whole sports thing, right? That's exactly what they're doing. You have a trans woman boxer boxing women, you can pummel the living piss out of this, you know, give people brain injuries.
Yeah. We saw that in the Olympics.
Yeah, exactly.
It was terrible. Swimmers,
the wrestlers, all these physical sports that these so-called men cannot compete against other men, and now they're competing against women. It's ridiculous. But this is basically that branch of Antifa. So they've just modeled, you know, cookie cuttered what they're doing in society, and now they're doing it in a political activism and violence branch of that. So there are some articles out there, and it's becoming, the term pops up more and more and more simply because news people don't know what the hell they're talking about. And they'll just parrot this stuff and, you know, rage baiting or fear mongering. Beware, Trantifa. It's more dangerous than Antifa. You know, it's the killer bees. Yeah,
sure it is.
But they're out there. And this guy, the guy that killed Charlie Kirk, they're saying he is basically falls into that category because he was dating a transvestite or transsexual furry. So there's a lot of, you know, counter, no, I wouldn't even call it counterculture.
Did you say furry?
Yeah.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
Wait, no, we're going to have to. All right, let me pause it real. I got to get some more coffee. We got to get into that. All right, we're back. So furry.
Oh, God. Yeah.
You were saying, I haven't heard this yet. I knew, what's the guy's name? Tyler Richardson or something like that, but
Tyler James Robinson.
Tyler Robinson. He was dating a trans guy.
Roommate.
Okay.
And dating. Yeah.
So they were living together.
Living together.
So, and I'll go back to this. I say this all the time. He was living with a cross dresser. Unless he got his dick and balls cut off. To me, that's a cross dresser.
How are you not gay? Just admit it. Just, and that's.
Wait, he's trying to. They're trying to say that he says he's not gay now, or what's that?
Well, that's what the lefties try to tell you, right? Why not date trans women? Just because they have a penis? Well, because they have a freaking penis. That's why, you idiot. So then you're transphobic if you don't want it. You know, a dick and balls under the covers. This is all part of the brainwashing, you know?
Yeah.
And it's,
it's like, if you can't, what's it? We're here to reproduce. That's the whole point of our existence.
You cannot deny the biological imperative and the design that, okay, yes, there are creatures that are hermaphrodites or, you know, asexual. Earthworms. We're not earthworms. We're a little higher up the genetic and, you know, intellectual now, chain. That.
I don't know if memory serves me right. Worms are asexual, right? So they basically split in half. I don't get that. I mean, probably because so many of them are needed. I don't get it. I don't understand the science behind it all. But
I mean,
yeah. Human beings are a whole different thing. All right. We're the top of the food chain. We're here for a reason to reproduce.
But if you think about the fact that an earthworm can turn into two earthworms if you chop it in half.
Right.
Where are earthworms? Where do they concentrate? Like in a human perspective, if you have a chunk of land, they're everywhere, right? But they're also in your garden. And having earthworms is beneficial. And if you cut them in half and they died, humans would have a serious problem with their gardens because the soil would get compacted. It wouldn't get aerated. It wouldn't, right? But the fact that you can accidentally rototill an earthworm into four pieces and end up with four earthworms, it's genius.
Right. It's,
you know, it was created that way. And it was, God knew we would have to use tools and we would be heavy handed and we would end up chopping these things in half, you know, and here's a vehicle to make that not a problem. It's actually, you know, you don't want to go around chopping all your earthworms in half. It's stressful for them, you know,
right.
It's not good for them, but it doesn't kill them.
It's another overlooked miracle that we take for granted.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Right under our feet, you know, and that's, we're dealing with situation in the family where, I mean, I'll just come out and say it. I'm like not trying to dox him or anything like that. But my oldest son came out of the closet last year, and he's got a gay lover, and they come over. We invite him over for family dinner, you know, once a week, and never in our family history have we ever talked about sex around the freaking kitchen table. But damn it, if not every time those two guys are here, they're talking about gay stuff. And it's like, I have to stop them. It's like, dude, this is not the time nor the place to talk about that crap. And it's, you don't, it doesn't happen in normal society that you just sit around the table or in a coffee shop and talk about heterosexual specific stuff, you know?
Right.
I mean, guys are guys. Guys do. And maybe that's the problem. Maybe that's the problem in a gay relationship. That guy thing is concentrated and there's no, you know, it's like,
yeah,
embarrassed to say some things around your wife. You wouldn't do it. She'd, you know, backhand you or whatever, talking about boobs or sex or whatever. But then these gay guys, they just don't have a filter, apparently.
And
it appears to be the forefront of their thinking. It's always about gays, you know.
I get it because, you know, when I was younger, I used to talk about, oh, yeah, I got this chick and I did this and that. And,
but you know, now,
what's that?
Would you do it at the dinner table with your mom and dad?
No, I don't even do it at all anymore. It's out of respect for my wife. It's like, no, I don't. That's none of your fucking business.
Exactly.
That's between me and my wife. But especially at the dinner table. No, definitely not.
Weird. It's really, really weird. And, you know, I wouldn't categorize it as being taken, you know, my good nature and my acceptance of my son, because I love him no matter what.
Right.
I wouldn't say he's taking advantage of me. He is just that way. He's kind of leaned into autism to some degree. And,
yeah,
you know, he doesn't read people's emotions. He doesn't read, in, you know, you can't be subtle with him. You can't, you know, and a lot of times we're taught subtlety in communication for sensitive subjects. You know, you don't want to embarrass somebody. You won't just come out and say, hey, your dick's hanging out of your pants, or, you know, you'll find some way to tell them. But my son's not that way. And maybe that's an autistic thing. But my point just being that there are tells in this kind of subculture, firsthand experience, that on the gay spectrum of that whole thing, or LGBTQ, ATA, whatever, there tends to be a lot of focus on gay stuff, gay news events, gay political issues, gay, it's just gay, 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 gay. Not always, not 100%, you know, but it comes up enough that you notice it and you think, huh, how inappropriate. How, you know,
right.
You know, and so, I don't know. There's something going on there. Haven't quite put my finger on it, but I think it's, you know, the desperation to be accepted in overdrive. And I'm sorry, but when you do that for anything, you can become repellent. You know, if all you talk about is politics around your wife, she's going to get sick of it. Ask me how I know.
Yeah. Yep.
So, you know what I found funny too, Fox? Of these groups, like the political groups, Antifa in particular, I don't know for sure, and I could be completely wrong about this, but I find it interesting. I think you have different brands of Antifa, right? You have different commitment levels. And the trans-Tifa style Antifa person is really that they're pretty much as far left as you can get, right? And then you have degrees from there leading out to, you know, like I forget who it was. I think it was a senator back in, this is like 2015, 2016. He published a picture on Twitter at the time of him holding the Antifa handbook in like a Starbucks. And that was his picture. I forget who it was. But then you that kind of person, they're supporters, they hate the right, they're willing to use Antifa as their idiots, you know. And so they're in that spectrum, but they're on the, you know, they're toward the center for appearances' sake, right? They don't want to be cast into that group. They don't want to be called Antifa. So they just, oh, I believe in it as a as an ideology, but I'm not, I don't actively participate, kind of holy position, you know. But even I think, except for the extreme left, I don't think that middle tier, like the 75%, don't would never get a tattoo, is kind of what I'm saying. Like they would not put an Antifa logo on their arm because they try to run under the covers. They try to stay out of the public eye. They try to obfuscate their relationship to Antifa. Antifa is not an organization. You know, it's not an organization. I'm just here as a citizen, whatever. Whereas I think I can only think of one patriotic organization where people willingly tattooed themselves as a statement to say, I'm American, I'm proud, I'm a man, I'm not ashamed of it, blah, 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 right? All these things. And so that, I just find that interesting. It's kind of like a fly-by-night terrorist organization, Antifa is.
Right.
Whereas,
I mean, if you want to go the other direction, I would say not as far to the extreme, but I would say the military. I mean, you see tattoos and stuff like that,
very common, right?
with that being said,
But why
there
do you
are
do that?
left leaning people in the military, not as much. I would say it's mostly right leaning people. I mean,
But why do you do it? Because you're proud of it, right?
right.
It's like something, it's part of who you are, and you're not afraid to show that. And in a lot of ways, I think my interpretation of a lot of the military tattoos, like the sleeves and stuff, is it's a storybook. You know, and it's a storybook of pain and guilt and loss and victory and brotherhood, and there's all that stuff, that warrior ethos is wrapped into those tattoos most of the time, to your point. And I don't see that kind of commitment coming out of Antifa. That's all I was trying to say. They're just kind of fly by night
Yeah.
terrorists. This little shit.
But
Don't kick
now
it when you can.
going back to this Charlie Kirk thing. All right, so you remember, obviously you remember January 6th and all the people that got arrested and imprisoned without a court appearance or anything. It was just lawlessness. And when I say lawlessness, I mean judicially, like it wasn't done right at all.
No.
So now with this Charlie Kirk thing, you're seeing like teachers losing their jobs for things that they put on Twitter, like I'm glad he's dead or something stupid like that. And people are losing their jobs. I don't know. I'm
I
not
hate it.
saying I agree with them, but I don't. It's like we're losing our freedom of speech, man. And it's like you can point to the January 6th, or you can point to people losing their jobs for posts. Yeah, it's stupid to say that, and I don't agree with it, but
I think those are two different things, logically speaking. I mean, I think we could divide those two things. I hate the cancel culture stuff, no matter who does it.
right.
Do they deserve it? Probably. In some
I mean,
cases,
if you're a teacher, I get it, but there's all kinds of people losing their jobs. You know what I mean?
nurses, but I mean, a freaking colonel in uniform posting pictures and railing about Charlie Kirk. A freaking colonel. Give me a break, right? I mean, there's. there's free speech. Here's what I like to say, and I know you agree with this. I shouldn't say that. I bet you agree with this. Freedom gives us the ability to do or say anything we want to do. I could go outside and do any freaking thing I want to do. Some of those things might be illegal. Right?
You're right.
I could run my car around the block without license plates. I might get caught. I might not get caught. I got the freedom to do it. There's nothing that stops me from doing it. There's nothing that's stopped the shooter, the killer, the murderer from shooting Charlie Kirk. He had the freedom to do it. There are consequences for that freedom. Him sitting in jail is the same thing as these people getting fired, right? It's the consequence of what they did, and it's antisocial and it's psychotic. And if you are a healthcare provider or a teacher or a public servant or a military guy and you're espousing that kind of stuff, you're promoting the political assassination of your ideological opponents. Dude, fuck you.
Yeah, right.
You get what you, that's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Not only, it's basically just a bad decision. And now if you're speaking to someone man to man and you say, "But man, fuck that guy. I'm glad he's dead." But to go on social media and put it in black and white for everyone to see, it's just stupid.
They've got a false sense of everybody agrees with me.
Exactly.
Yeah. And
that's the problem.
You're wrong. And the good news, I mean, the silver lining to that behavior is that a lot of people who've been borderlined are waking up. I don't know how many. Does it really matter? I don't know, but it's good to see, you know, people saying, "I was a lefty, but this makes me disgusted." You know,
I guess that was my point. Like, January 6th is one end of the spectrum, and now you got this going on with people who hated Charlie Kirk, and now it's happening. It's like kind of it's kind of like the pendulum swinging the other way. Is what I'm is the whole point of what I was trying to say.
It shouldn't. What I don't like about it is the kind of now we're in power effect, right? We shouldn't be doing it on one hand. On the other hand, part of the problem how we got here is people have not been held accountable for their actions. That's how Antifa gets away with this crap, right? You and I know, we've seen them in person. We've been standing shoulder to shoulder on a, you know, just carrying an American flag, watching Antifa get away with felonies, and they've got a lawyer standing on the corner watching. And as soon as they get arrested, the lawyer engages because they've already been paid for. So this person doesn't get a public defender. They get an attorney, you know, a high paid attorney that probably Soros, somebody else put on that street, you know, and they do this and they feed them and they nurture them and coddle them. It's insanity. And then,
the reason that they fund all this, not because they agree with the movement or what they stand for, it's to fuel this civil war that they want to, it's conquer and divide. That's all it is. And they want to see this happen. And as it's happening, there's other things going on behind the scenes that's destroying the entire civilization, the whole foundation of what.
Yeah. We can't let a civil war happen. We can't. And it's good to see the president declaring them terrorists. Let's treat them that way. Let's get them off the streets. You know, let's find out who's funding them and charge them with, you know, funding terrorism. All the crap that happened for 9/11, let's make that happen for Antifa. That's my opinion. Screw you guys. If that's your, because they're really just communists and they're trying to overthrow the country. And a civil war is how they're going to get their revolution. And if we fall into that trap, it could go either way.
Right.
You know,
I don't, I'm not sure I agree with it though. Like, now what does that mean? Okay. Let's say, all right, somebody sits around watching CNN in his mom's basement. He starts agreeing with all this shit and he joins Antifa.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean he can be arrested because he's a terrorist, or does he have to commit a crime?
I think it's crime based.
Right.
That's the way the right always is, in effect. I mean, it should be.
It should be.
Your actions.
Well, you can go back to January 6th.
But that's different because that was the lefties in charge, right? So
yeah, but it's the same. It's the same thing. Did they do anything wrong? No, the cops basically ushered them into this building and then
entrapped them into their trap, right? Because I think that you're right. I think Nancy Pelosi and her cohorts of Cuntifa, as I'm going to call them, in the government, these liberal women who side with Antifa, totally set them up. Totally set them up. And then came down on them as hard as anything I've ever seen in my entire life, right? They were probably more cruel to the January Sixers than they were to who was it, the Rosens or whatever, you know, the husband and wife communist spies in the 50s. I think that they were executed for treason, but you know, I'm sure Nancy Pelosi would have loved that.
Oh,
she
yeah.
would have loved to have seen public executions for what they called a coup. And it's ridiculous, but I don't agree that they're the same, but I think I see what you're saying. The opportunity is there for abuse by the government to maybe bait. And
we can't, because we disagree with someone's stance, we can't give up our freedom.
I agree. It's just that these I'm trying not to cuss, man.
Go ahead.
Degenerate, low-life, communist, America-hating scumbags are so horrible, it makes me like the CIA more than them. And that's a hard pill to swallow.
Right.
You know?
I mean, it's politics, man. The whole idea behind politics is to divide us. I mean, we're losing our freedoms, but it's the people that we don't agree with, so it makes it all right in some weird kind of way. But we can't let that happen.
People, there are a lot of issues, right? I mean, it's like fathers in the home, huge issue for like Black communities and the violent crime and the stuff that Charlie Kirk would talk about, you know, disproportionate violent crimes coming out of the Black neighborhoods. For a lot of different reasons, but one of them is there are no fathers. You know, the fathers are in jail or they're somewhere else, that kind of stuff. And then you have, I mean, just civics, dude. I when I was in high school, we had to take civics, and it was basically learning everything about politics. How does a local government work? How does the, you know, county government, the state government, and the national government, federal government, how does that stuff all work? And what is the Constitution? And what is the Bill of Rights? And what I learned in my growing up was that laws don't stop crime. People stop crime. Laws define a punishment for doing something that society doesn't want you to do, but it doesn't stop you from doing it because you have freedom.
Right.
You know, it's like,
how old are you, Brian?
Under 60.
Okay. I'm not that much. We're about the same age, yeah, but
probably.
I'm 50. What's that?
I'm 58.
Okay. So about 60, 4 or 5 years now.
1967.
I didn't take civics.
Okay.
And I'm like 5 years after you. Okay. Civics became social studies. And that's part of the problem, I think.
Yeah. You know what I mean? That's what they called it in my school, but I refer to it as civics because that's what we learned.
And who knows what it is now? It's probably even more soft and you know, they leave out the laws and they don't teach cursive anymore so that the kids can't read the Constitution or the Bill of Rights. You know what I mean?
But the point being that I was kind of going down is even the Constitution is not laws for you and me. The Bill of Rights is not laws for you and me. It's laws for the government. And it's saying you cannot do this. The government cannot do this. The government cannot abridge your free speech. The government cannot abridge your right to religion. The government cannot take away your firearms. Can you know? And people keep, and it just, it's more than a nit to pick with me, because people have this wrong way of thinking about it. They keep saying, you're violating my Second Amendment rights. No, I'm violating your God-given rights. You are not the government. You know, the Bill of Rights says, Congress shall pass no laws abridging the right to assemble, to, you know, the First Amendment. It's got the freedom of religion, the freedom of speech, the freedom to assemble, and the freedom to address grievances with the government. But it says Congress shall not create laws that abridge those freedoms. And this is what Alexander Hamilton fought for, probably the most out of all of the founders. It was that his argument was, if you enumerate certain rights, people will forget about all the others. There's like hundreds of rights that are God given to you, but all we focus on are the First Amendment, Second Amendment, Fifth Amendment, Fourth Amendment, you know, and it's
right. Yeah.
Because it comes down to, when you're being falsely arrested, that's one thing, because that is the government impinging on you, right? But when CBS or ABC fire Stephen Colbert, it's not his First Amendment right. It's his right to free speech. There's a big difference there. And people just, is it worth arguing about? I think it is, but it's a civics issue. You know, what is the First Amendment? It's a law that prevents the government from abridging your free speech. I can cancel you or whatever, right? I mean, this whole cancellation thing, it's not, unless the government is doing it, like somebody said, I think it was James Woods or Ted Nugent, when the whole kerfuffle kicked up about Jimmy Kimmel, and he just asked the question, is he in federal prison? Was he put to, is he in a gulag? No.
Right.
Even if it was the FCC, the FCC has been censoring people since 1935. You know, yeah. And stuff has happened to prevent that. And obviously South Park runs as far as they can with it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And God bless them. Even Charlie Kirk thought it was funny, you know, when they made fun of him. You have to have a sense of humor. You have to give people latitude, but dancing on somebody's grave and saying he deserved it because you didn't like what he said, that's a bridge. That's psychotic, actually. So when are we going to, you know, and when are we going to start calling trans a mental illness again? And that's the problem, is this, we've been brainwashed as a society, or they're trying to brainwash us to accept this stuff as normal. And then they create the rules of the game and try to force you to play along with it.
Right.
Pronouns, right? Don't misgender me, blah, blah, blah. Have you seen the videos of this guy? It's a trans guy who goes around and films all his interactions with people and publishes the ones that offend him. I was misgendered at a restaurant. The dumbass went and took his cell phone into the women's bathroom at a Disneyland or Disney World. And he finally got his ass kicked for that. But he's a complete, utter cunt.
Right.
Period. That's just, he's a cunt. He's an arrogant, freaking asshole who lives, breathes, sleeps trans, doesn't give a shit about America. And that's all he cares about. You know, anyway. And that's these people. I was watching a video yesterday, and it was a reporter, independent reporter, tried to go into an Antifa protest. This is just this week. And ask the Antifa people, why are you here? You know, what's going on? Why are you here? What do you think? What's happening? And they would just dogpile on him to force him out. You've seen it happen in videos, right? They
Right.
surround him, they prevent him from talking to people, they knock the mic out of his hand, they everybody that starts to talk to him, somebody comes up and whispers in their ear, and then they turn around and walk away. And they're basically, I'm not going to tell you what to do. But he is publishing on Twitter, and Twitter's part of the problem. And if you talk to him, you're part of the problem. And we're watching you. Kind of is the subtle thing that if you do this, you can do it, but we're going to outcast you. You're going to be an outcast. And so they just turn around and walk away. And this guy's like, hey, I'm just asking him a question. Why are you here? Why is this important to you? They won't even converse at that level, and to watch it happen. And it's so blatantly communist. And the way that they use control, command and control to control what people say, it also controls what they think. And then Charlie Kirk's dead. It's not hard to connect the dots.
Right.
Those are Nazis. He's a Nazi. And the guy's just like, what the hell are you talking about? I'm not a Philistine, right?
Huh. All right. I'll be right back.
Right, man.
All right, we're back. Had to get another cup of coffee. I'm still trying to wake up, Brian. So I stopped drinking during the week, which I this started back in April. It's because of some it was basically I'll just say God told me to do this, all right? So it's been like 5 months now. So I drank every single night for 30 years. And if I went to an AA meeting right now and said, okay, I drank every single night for 30 years, but now I only drink on the weekends, they'd be like, bullshit. You're lying. I swear to
That's a
God. But now, like when I drank last night, Friday night or Saturday night, and I'm still trying to wake up, man. That's why I keep going back and drinking coffee. It's like it hits me harder now, because my body's not used to it.
Yeah.
But it's kind of crazy, man. Like I said, if I went into an AA meeting and told these people this, they'd think I was lying my ass off. But that's the way it's working for me. So
Yeah. I want to circle back to the first thing we started talking about really quick. Just really quick. I just want to establish something.
right.
And it's, about just about Israel or the Jews or whatever. I personally believe that the bloodline of Judah, that's from Abraham to Isaac to King David to Jesus, we're all in the bloodline of Judah. Those are God's chosen people. I don't know why. I don't know. You look at the history, and the whole Old Testament is just, filled with just horrible stories of how they, turned their back on God all these times. And for whatever reason, he stuck with them and he said, you are my chosen people. I don't know why. But that's his plan. And apart from that, I got no dog in the fight. I'm live and let live for the most part across the board until you get into Antifa territory and stuff like that. But from a Jew perspective, I don't care. It doesn't affect me to a degree that I'm comfortable with. It's are there famous Jews? Are there powerful Jews? Are there, I don't, yeah, they're famous Germans, powerful Germans, and I don't like the Germans, but I
Right.
let them live. I say that jokingly. There have been two world wars and they both started at the same country. That's all I'm saying. Yeah, it's just not something like, so when those conversations come up, I just kind of roll my eyes a little bit and just throw my hands in the air. And that's what I was saying earlier too, is that, I got bombarded by people on both sides, and there's like somebody responded to my statement that Palestinians are the Philistines. And he basically said, he quoted a verse from Revelation that basically said the occupants of Jerusalem are evil, something to that effect. And he's like, now what do you think about the Jews? I'm like, dude, I still feel the same way I did before. I'll say it again. The Palestinians are the Philistines. What's your, you know, it's like when you know, well, actually, people, you know, the sky looks a little bluer today. Well, actually, it's because, but you know what I mean? It's the people that always have to explain everything, and they dig way deeper into a subject than you ever intended or wanted to go. And that's what they do to you. You know, it's they're the well actually people of hating Jews, and I just don't get it. I don't get it. I'm not on board with it, and it, you know, I just it feels like a degree of prejudice that is uncomfortable to me. Right? It's like this. There's just this hatred, and it's the seething undercurrent. Like I said, you know, you just sway off the center path and you just run into it. It comes up all the time. And I don't know why. Why are they so hated? You know, that kind of makes you wonder if everybody's against them, but God says they're my chosen people. Maybe, just maybe, we should err on the side of God. Just say,
but,
it's his business. All right.
Man, this if we get started on this could take another hour, but
yeah.
it just depends what path you go down, all right? So you're talking about the Old Testament.
I'm talking about the bloodline of Judah, which is who God declared was my chosen people. Now, it's important to note that once they effectively killed Jesus, there was no love lost. Something happened, right? He turned his back on them, or they turned their back on God, because within 300 years, the Romans wiped Judea off the map, scattered them around the world. They became slaves. You know, Judea was gone, and it was now Syria, Palestinia, or whatever it's called. Yeah.
And that's the other thing. Now, when you talk about the Philistines or the Palestinians, these bloodlines are in the people of Israel and the people in Palestine. I mean, yeah. They're the same people, and they're fighting over some bullshit.
Canaanites, Phoenicians. I don't think the area was not called Palestine until Roman Emperor Hadrian. It was like 325 AD, 325 CE. And he said, Judea is gone. I'm calling this Syria Philistia, which is like the Latin for Philistine, whatever. And so then it started being referred to as ancient Palestine, probably in the 20th century. Maybe, I don't know. I think that was a Western name. And then it just became the public conscience that, you know, this is Palestine and Israel. But, you know, after 1948, they rub up against each other. And one of the comments I made online, as people were nitpicking my comment, you know, my satirical comment about the Philistines, as I said, if you the bloodlines go back far enough, we're all related. So what's your fucking point?
Right.
Right.
I mean, you can go back to Genesis. So Abram at the time, who became Abraham, his wife Sarah, I don't know if she was too old or some. Anyway, she couldn't have kids. Yeah. She couldn't have kids, right? So she had a servant named Hagar. And she basically told her to go sleep with Abram. She had a kid, and they named it Ishmael. A lot of people think the descendants of Ishmael became the Nation of Islam in some way, shape, way, or fashion. And then through God, Sarah became impregnated with Jacob, who became, and Jacob had the 12 tribes of Israel were his sons, right? So that's how far all this shit goes back. I mean,
well, and Abram pissed off God by sleeping with Hagar. That was not a cool thing to do, right? So right. Ishmael was kind of cursed in a way. He did not have God's favor. He was not one of the chosen ones. Sarah's offspring was, because he wanted faith out of Abram, right? Yeah, it's been 200 years or however long it took for her to get pregnant. It was a long time.
And Abraham basically later on after that became a Jew. So, I mean, you got all three of these groups in this one story. You know what I mean?
And a lot of people don't know this, and I didn't know this until about 20 years ago. But so the most contested plot of land, I think, on the planet is what we call the Dome on the Rock in Jerusalem. That is the location where Abram built the altar to sacrifice his son. And that is the location where Jesus was crucified. It is the exact same spot. And now, so I mean, like, that is the, you know, Jewish and Christian epicenter, if there ever was one. Right. It's freaking amazing. It is. You know, is that a coincidence? Nope. And
there's still people that think all this just came from some explosion in outer space or some bullshit like that. It's like, come on, man.
Yeah, and earthworms just happen to self-replicate.
Yeah. You can go back to what we were talking about before, the earthworms. I mean, there's so many miracles that, I don't know. We could talk about this stuff forever.
Yeah, and it, you know, and the like I like to say, you know, conspiracy theories come from the gaps in facts, right? There's some gap. It doesn't make any sense. And nature abhors a vacuum. Nature hates vacuum. It always has to fill it. And human minds have to fill gaps. And if the government or the responsible parties don't fill those gaps, people come up with plausible explanations for what fills the gap. You know, that is kind of, in essence, a conspiracy theory. And oh, I had a point. I did it to myself again. It was something you said, but it was.
We were talking about the Bible. I don't.
But it was
Abraham.
It was more. Damn it! Just how people will fill in the gaps, and so, and I guess as it relates to what we were talking about earthworms and miracles and stuff like that. You know, we can't explain everything, right?
Right.
Science. I've appreciated science as helping explain how God did stuff, you know, how he set this stuff up. I mean, we're only scratching the surface, right? We still don't understand. We can't do, you know, nuclear fission. We can't do, there's all kinds of things. I was studying a little bit about, you know, the Manhattan Project, and they ran a gaming scenario to try to figure out how much plutonium to use for the bombs for the Manhattan Project. And basically they had three paths that resulted from this gaming scenario. One was a neutral path where the reaction, the fission reaction sustained itself indefinitely until it ran out of fuel. There was one path where it depleted, it just ramped down and died out rather quickly. And then there was a third path where it set off the atmosphere and chain reaction, the atmosphere, and burned up the earth. And they're like, any one of them could happen. They set it off anyway. So, science, it's guesswork. It's educated guesswork, It's like doctors. Doctors, they are highly paid guessers.
I
Nine times
mean,
out of 10, that's
yeah.
all it is.
I mean, like we were talking about earlier, we're here to procreate and reproduce, but we're also here to, I mean, God appreciates when we seek wisdom. Have you ever heard the theory that the Bible's been rewritten so many times in so many languages, and some of it has changed, But there's a theory that, like in, for instance, in Proverbs, when King Solomon talks about wisdom, it always says she takes her stand at the crossroads, by the gates at the entrance of town, stuff like that. But so the theory goes like this now. Wisdom was like the, let's say we're talking about the Holy Trinity. All right, the Holy Spirit was actually a she. And have you ever heard anything like this?
I mean, I've heard this, the theory, the book. What was it? Not the cabin. There was a, I've got a copy of it somewhere. There was a book that was, it was a fictional book trying to describe the Trinity. And they portrayed the Holy Spirit as a woman. The Shack. The Shack.
Okay.
It is it canonical? No. Is it it was very controversial. It has some stuff in it that was whatever, you could take it or leave it. But the way he described heaven from, and what I understand is he took it from people who had died and supposedly went to the afterlife and then came back. The way they described it is how he portrayed it in the book. It's very fascinating, and the way and the relationship between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as it was depicted in the book, was very fascinating. And it was anthropomorphic. It everything was portrayed in kind of human terms. And I think when you're dealing with spiritual issues, it's really, really hard to wrap your head around what that
Right.
means. What is eternal life? What is where's what is a soul? Where was it before we were born? Where is it now? And we got all these questions. And this is where I was going. This is where I was going with the conspiracy theory thing, is we don't know, we don't know the answers. Some stuff kind of unfolds through to us, either through revelation or through science or through observation. But the whole point of faith is like, and your example of Abram, and Isaac, and him being willing to take his son to an altar and hold a knife over him and say, God, if this is your will, your will be done. And then he stopped. It was the, are you willing to put it all on the line? Are you willing to get that tattoo and declare, stand in front of a crowd of people and say, I love Jesus Christ? Or are you going to take the tattoo that they give you that says you're a good little, beast follower or
Right.
whatever? So
Yep.
I know, it's hard, dude. It's hard, and everybody has to figure this out on their own. That's the thing that's kind of cruel, as a parent, as a child, as a parent, as a citizen, we all have to make these discoveries, and some people are better at it than others, for sure. Charlie
Right.
Kirk was pretty damn good at it.
All right. Well, that's a pretty good place to end it for this week. I appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, if there's something else you want me to kind of look into, trans deep or
Whatever you
whatever.
want, man. You know me. I just jump on here and talk about whatever comes in my head. So, but if you have a certain topic you want to talk about next week, That's on you, man. Whatever you want to do.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna be in DC. What is it? Friday. I'll leave Friday, and I won't be back till Sunday. Probably Sunday afternoon, late afternoon.
Well,
7-8 hour drive. So
I'm working 7 days a week. That probably next week. So we'll just do it after work one night.
Okay.
No big deal. So,
all right, dude.
All right. Anybody's got any questions, comments, bitches, gripes, complaints? ConspiracySoldiers@yahoo.com. Conspiracy Soldiers on Instagram, YouTube, Rumble, probably. Sometimes I forget to put it on Rumble. And the phone number, 313-583-7646. Got any last words for this week?
No, just, I think if the people on the right who hate what's going on can band together societally and try to find ways to band together with people over the line. And by that, I just mean to the left and, music.
The other side of the aisle.
The other side of the aisle, man. Food, music, math, chess, whatever it is. Love a beer. Sit around.
There you go.
Talk about shit that isn't politics, Let's
break down
these walls that the media and the politicians are erecting every day that are causing us to think that there's no, that it's inevitable to have another civil war. It's not, and there's a very interesting video on YouTube right now by a guy. The channel's called Veritasium, and it was about this gaming simulation, and he talked about the Manhattan Project amongst other things. But one of them was that a force of good, as they demonstrated in this gaming logic, a force of good that is not a pushover, that stands up for itself, that holds the other side. If somebody attacks it, will instantly retaliate. It's like, no, that's not permissible. You can't just come in and attack me. But gives that person room and some grace. That's like, there's like three parts of the equation. If they did all those three things, good would overtake evil.
Right.
And that was really powerful to me.
I don't know if you listened to the roundtable we did earlier this week, but
I did.
So Bennett, he said we all agree on 95%, but they want us fighting over the 5% that we don't agree on. Everybody already knows that, but I thought it was a good way to explain it, and it's true. Like you said, beer. You know what I'm saying? I'll have a beer with Antifa.
It's hard. It is hard because I have face to face with those people, Right. And they're such cunts. So,
I mean, I think we all have, whether we know it or not. We work with them.
Yeah.
Well, maybe. I don't know.
My interaction that I'm thinking of in particular was basically masks were off. This guy was full on commie, said I'm a communist, and then he proceeded to tell me how I was racist and all this crap. So I called him a child molester. It's like, if you're going to call me a racist, I'm going to call you a freaking, when did you stop raping children? Woo! He got all wigged out. It was great. But yeah, to your point, it's like, if we can just, we understand and come to the table and shake hands and just say, let's leave this stuff off to the side for now until we're mature enough to have a conversation about it.
Yeah.
Let's just do something. Let's talk about family. Everybody's got family. Everybody's got to eat. That's why, there's certain things you have to do. Eating is like the primary one. We can all agree has to be done. So let's break bread, man. I am not a, real mushy guy. I'm more likely, I've got a couple gun safes. I'm not afraid to open them. I don't want to go there.
Right,
I do not want to go there. It horrifies me. So I just think let's pump the brakes on the talk of civil war and figure out what can we do to try to bridge a gap. And we're not going to convert them, and we're not going to, we're going to walk away from each other still thinking what we think, but maybe at least if we're on speaking terms.
So what you're trying to say is give peace a chance. Yeah. You sound like a couple of hippies.
Why can't we all just get along? As the great Saint, what was it? Rodney King said, can't we all just get along?
Right.
Crazy.
All right. With that, Conspiracy Soldiers is going dark.